the daughter of Mrs. Carter Wright, who was for years the stewardship chairman of Women's Missionary Union. And so we look forward to the release of this book, Christian Sharing of Possessions by Mrs. Usry, which will be our study book for the third quarter next year. Also, in keeping with the Jubilee Advance emphasis, we are releasing a play this very shortly now for use during this year of stewardship emphasis. This play is entitled Wait a Minute. It is adapted from a play by Margaret Applegarth and is to be adapted for our use by Mrs. Ned P. King of Dallas, Texas, who was presented to you on yesterday morning and who is our chief backstage just at this moment. Mrs. King will prepare this. We will give it at the Ridgecrest and Glorietta WMU conferences this year, that those of you who attend those conferences may get hold of it early. It is to be so adapted that it can be used for large productions or for small productions, used by associations and used likewise in churches. And so we urge you to watch for the release date of the play, Wait a Minute, for use during our stewardship year. We have adopted other goals for the stewardship year that will help our people to be aware of the channels through which Southern Baptists give. Women's Missionary Union's emphasis on stewardship has always been one of stewardship of possessions. This does not in any wise mean that we are not aware of the fact that stewardship has a broader meaning, that it incorporates all of life. And this larger, this total stewardship is covered in the educational program of a Southern Baptist church. But in Women's Missionary Union, our emphasis has been on the stewardship of possessions. And therefore, it is our particular responsibility to keep the people in our organizations informed about the channels of giving, informed also about the teachings in the Bible regarding the acquisition of money and the use of money. We try, as in a foundational sort of way, to help our people to be very aware of our responsibility to God in the acquisition of money. Our responsibility to God not only for the one-tenth, but the recognition of the fact that all that we have is ours as a gift from God, and we are responsible to God not just for the one-tenth, but for the wise use of all that we have. And we try through our organization to urge our members to give regularly and proportionately, week by week, through the cooperative program, and to give over and above gifts to the special mission offerings which we promote through our organization. As Mrs. Mathis and I talked about how we could this afternoon present to you again the three channels of giving for Southern Baptist, how we could send you away from this place with a clearer understanding, with a realization of the importance of your passing on this sort of knowledge to those in your churches who could not come to this meeting, we decided that we would like this year to present these channels through three churches, to present these three churches through their pastors. And so the three men who are seated here on the right have been invited here today, not just because of themselves, but because of their churches also. We recognize, however, that their churches today are doing much of what they are doing because of the leadership of these three men. The first one who is to come is one whose stewardship teachings I have followed for some years and have incorporated a portion of it in the little book which has been referred to, Women's Missionary Union, in the chapter on sharing possessions. Dr. Dodson M. Nelson, Jr., pastor of the First Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina, out of his own convictions, has led his church in a magnificent way in recent years. And he is coming now to speak to us on the cooperative program, though he could speak equally well on either of the special mission offerings. And so will you think now, as Dr. Nelson comes to speak to us, about this channel of giving that we want all of Women's Missionary Union to promote, all of the people of Women's Missionary Union to participate in, all of the members of Women's Missionary Union to use their influence in their churches to gain support for the cooperative program. I recognize Dr. Nelson.
It is presumptuous indeed for a mere man to think that he could come and tell the women of Missionary Women's Missionary Union anything about giving. I presume I qualified because I was a sunbeam under Miss Minnie Landrum before she went to Brazil as a missionary. I belonged to the Royal Ambassadors. I served as a lifeguard in GA and YWA camps in Mississippi under Miss Edwina Robinson. And since I couldn't get in the Women's Missionary Society any other way, I entered the ministry, and now I am a member of the society. But it is my privilege to stand before you not so much as an individual, but to represent the voice of a church rich in history and tradition, vigorous in activity, with eyes uplifted to the future. We are proud of our heritage in Greenville. It was there that Southern Baptist Seminary was born. It was there that Furman University has come to be the magnificent Christian educational institution that it is. We worship in a sanctuary, a part of which was built in 1857 under the chairmanship of Dr. James P. Boyce. But we are proud also of our immediate past, proud of increasing our gifts to the cooperative program from $40,000 to $130,000 a year in less than 10 years, that our gifts to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering have increased in the same period from $4,500 to $13,500, and that our gifts to the Annie Armstrong offering have increased from $1,500 to $4,000. During those same years, this church has spent more than $750,000 in building. New property has been bought, other churches have been helped, new services have been rendered, with nearly $300,000 financed as comfortably as anything can be financed. Our primary concern is with our complete stewardship, which includes increased giving to worldwide missions. I've been asked to talk about the cooperative program. Those two words of the title are familiar and well chosen. They speak for themselves when allowed to do so. An individual, a church, or a denomination without a program is afloat on a stormy sea without chart or compass. The program of Southern Baptist follows the clear teaching of the New Testament in its emphasis upon teaching, preaching, and healing. But the program is not an inanimate object. It breathes with the life of people. When you say program, you are speaking of educational institutions, both at home and abroad. Christian education for young people, whether in the primary schools of Africa or Japan, or in the Christian colleges like Furman University and Mississippi College or William Jewell. You also are speaking about the hundreds of ministers, educational directors, and missionaries who are being educated not only in our six seminaries in this country, but in the many seminaries and Bible schools which you operate abroad. When you speak of preaching, you are speaking of preaching done in numerous languages and in every continent in the world. You are talking about the evangelists at work among the Indians, the Mexicans, and in more than these 40 countries. When you speak of healing, you are talking about our Baptist hospitals and clinics at home and abroad. The support for all the work outside the local church is undergirded by the program hammered out by our elected leaders to implement the Great Commission. Cooperation is a great word among Baptists. We band ourselves together in associations and conventions in order that we can do more effectively together what we could not do so well separately. Our convention has been, and always will be, a unity in nonconformity. One of the secrets of that unity has been in a task so big that we are forced to cooperate to get it done. The fact that some can say that our loosely organized convention ought not to work is proved false by this very cooperation. Now, there's something very Christian about cooperation. We join together not because we must, but because we may. To share the gospel, we share responsibilities with others of like mind. Now the cooperative program was born out of the deep need under the providence of God. But let us remember that it must be taught and retaught to every succeeding generation. Now that a generation has arisen which knew not Joseph, we need to be reminded of the rock from which we have been hewn. We are in the rather remarkable position for Baptists of being at least to some degree prosperous. We have not always been thus. It follows that we must be careful to keep our perspective and do our best for God. It follows, too, that great care should be exercised by those who study the continuing cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, that we shall not follow slavishly the red rear lights of the past, but look out into the incandescent light of the future to meet the overwhelming needs that lie before us, needs that challenge, needs that calls for a balanced program, needs that call for us to be realistic on the one hand and full of vision on the other. But I'm sure you'll agree with me that the ultimate place of emphasis is in the individual church. There are still too many churches, mine among them, still giving too little to the cooperative program. To lift the sights, the cooperative program must be personalized. In the church where I have the honor to be pastor, we have come to the conclusion that everything we do is missionary. Consequently, the way our budget should be divided is between that which we spend in Greenville and that which we send away. And so we put in our local expense budget such items as associational missions, a goodwill center, radio and television, and so forth. This has been, I think, a primary factor in the increase of our gifts to the cooperative program. One further word. Just as the Bible is not to be worshipped, but the Christ which the Bible reveals, so the cooperative program is not to be emphasized, but the causes that make it up. There's nothing sacrosanct about the cooperative program. It can, is, and will be changed from year to year. It was never, in my opinion, meant to be the single program of giving. In our emphasis upon the cooperative program, our people have not forgotten, nor will they forget, the Lottie Moon offering for foreign missions and the Annie Armstrong offering for home missions. Neither have we nor will we do away with the opportunities for people to give out of the overflow of that dedication. Some time ago, a friend of mine said to me, "I try to protect my people." My reply was that I did not believe that my people needed any real protection. They were pretty well able to take care of themselves. A good deal of our protection of our people is really the denial of the opportunity for some to give expression to their gratitude to God. We need to have confidence in people. Trust the Lord and tell the people is the motto of the Home Mission Board. And it's a good motto for a church and an admirable way to increase giving. Over and over, I've seen people respond when they were challenged. I remember on one occasion when the chairman of our foreign program told a budget committee, "You haven't given us a big enough goal to shoot at." And gifts to the cooperative program were raised by 3%. Just a short time ago, a housewife came deeply disturbed because we'd not been able to reach a $12,200 goal in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Within 3 or 4 days after that prayer, her husband got a windfall. And the gift which they gave to the cooperative program set it over its goal. The time has come for us to lengthen the cords of our giving to worldwide mission through every means at our command. We have the resources. The need is demonstrable. The people are ready to the challenge of sacrificial stewardship. New buildings may have to wait or be financed over longer periods, but we must get on with the balanced cooperative program of Southern Baptists. If we do, waiting generations may be rising up to say this was their finest hour.
The cooperative program came into being in 1925. At the time it was launched before the Southern Baptist Convention, the convention took action that the cooperative program was to in no way interfere with the offerings that were taken by Women's Missionary Union in connection with the Week of Prayer for Foreign Missions, the Week of Prayer for Home Missions, and the State Mission Weeks of Prayer. And so we look now at those offerings which were begun 37 years before the cooperative program came into being. For 37 years before the cooperative program came into being, Women's Missionary Union was organized. And these offerings had their beginnings then. Well, not really then, but before that time. For even before Women's Missionary Union was organized, there were mite societies and sense societies among women, women gathering together to pray, to give their offerings, to send to some mission cause. But in 1888, when we came into being as an organization, immediately the women undertook to collect funds to build a church building in Havana, Cuba. And it was against that background that Miss Annie Armstrong had such a receptive heart when Miss Lottie Moon sent the request that we have in that first year a week of prayer and take an offering for foreign missions. For Miss Armstrong thought it would be well for the women to have a foreign mission interest and prayer concern as well as a home mission one which had been adopted earlier. All through the early years when Miss Armstrong was the executive secretary, or as she was then called, the corresponding secretary, home missions was kept before the people in Women's Missionary Union, for she herself was so vitally interested in spreading the gospel here. It is for that reason that I think it was most appropriate that the union took action and in some years later named this home mission offering for Miss Annie Armstrong. Now there are pastors and there are churches that take a peculiar interest and a particular interest in home missions. We have invited one here this afternoon who has, through his ministry, been interested in spreading the gospel at home, who has exerted his influence in leading his church in its support of home missions. And so we have invited Dr. Dick H. Hall, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Decatur, Georgia, to talk to us specifically this afternoon on the Annie Armstrong offering or his church's participation in it. But, of course, he cannot do that without mentioning the other two channels of giving through which we as Southern Baptists give. Dr. Hall, will you come now and speak to us on the Annie Armstrong offering?
Ms. Mathis, Ms. Hunt, and my friends, some of us remember who were on the Home Mission Board during the early 40s when the Annie Armstrong offering was used to carry on the work, and all of the gifts were used, all the other, the cooperative program funds were used to pay off debts. And so the Annie Armstrong offering and the contribution of our women to the mission program of Southern Baptists can never be properly, I'm sure, evaluated. You've asked me to speak about our church. I'm reminded of the time that I went on my first train journey up 13 miles to Blue Mountain, Mississippi to visit Jim Buchanan. And he invited some friends over to see us. We were small boys. And the first boy that got over the fence was about my size. And he acknowledged the introduction by saying, "I bet I can lick you." And before I realized what I was doing, I said, "I bet you can't." And then I was a little bit nervous until he turned around and he said, "If I can't, I bet my brother can." And so I agreed, since I saw the brother was taller, that possibly he could, and we let it go at that. Now, I haven't any bold challenge to make to you about our church. I would like to tell you about a church that we've had some connection with and give that as a challenge. 1949, we established a mission, and then in a few months, constituted the Columbia Drive Baptist Church. And in constituting that church, they were challenged to be unique as a church in being 50-50 for missions from the very time of their organization. And I'm glad to tell you that for 11 and a half years, they have given as much to missions as they've used on local work. Their budget this year is $6,000 more than the Mother Church's budget was the year they were constituted. And they have grown, they have been building all the time, and it's a rather phenomenal way that they have grown. I believe that the best way a church can possibly grow at home is to be a missionary. Now, it's not possibly thought of the fact that Dr. Redford and a good many of the Home Mission Board members are members of our church when she asked me to speak, but and possibly some have thought that that was the reason we've stressed the Anna Armstrong offering. We certainly honor and appreciate these who work with the Home Mission Board and are so loyal to us. But I think that our interest in the Annie Armstrong offering is much deeper than simply that that might be brought on by personalities. And I suppose that one of the reasons that we've been asked to about our participation is that we have set a program in our church of giving as much to the Annie Armstrong offering for home missions as we give to the Lottie Moon offering for foreign missions. We do that, I think, for two reasons. The first is that the expanding work of the Home Mission Board needs every dollar that it can get if we are going to meet the needs in our own nation. We are working now in 48 of the 50 states of the Union and in Panama and Cuba. We have spread out so that our work is going on in practically all of our country. And we must strengthen that work because in many cases it's only in the most modest of beginnings. Dr. Frank Laubach said last week in Emory University that if the tide and the trend is not reversed, in 10 years from now, we'll all either be dead or be slaves. And we believe that if we do not save America, then we'll not be able to do much for the rest of the world. Not only are we spreading out and we need much more money to meet the needs now, but they tell us that the explosive population rate means that we'll have twice as many people in America in 40 years from now as we have now, and that means that we'll need many more than 30,000 more churches in order to care for these people. Our missionary personnel is better trained, and we are, I think, doing a better job in home missions. Home missions is coming into its own, and we're recognizing it now as one of the great factors in our forward movement. If we do not somehow lead to Christ the leadership of our world, of our nation, they'll somehow alkaline the spiritual atmosphere of the world so that we'll not be able to do much in other parts of the world. The second reason that we are interested in home missions, I believe, is that we are supporting vitally the foreign mission program by supporting the Annie Armstrong offering. We are supporting everything that missions has to do with when we support the Annie Armstrong offering, because we believe that missions around the world is dependent upon the support that we're to give it here. I'm not criticizing our British brethren, but I believe that they themselves say that they did not keep up their home fires and their home activity and their home mission program, and because of that, their foreign mission program has been hurt. Wherever the Home Mission Board has established a church in these recent years, they've insisted that from the beginning, the cooperative program must have a worthy part in its mission, in its gifts. And so every time a new church is established, that's like sinking a little oil well that will give an increasing flow of golden strength into our whole mission program. I wonder, it would be revealing and startling, I'm sure, to know what percentage of the mission gifts of our denomination come from these new churches that have been established in the last 15 or 20 years. I was on the Home Mission Board for 16 years. I never came away from one meeting without a sense of bewilderment because of
the expanding horizon. And as we've gone high in our meeting these needs, we've seen the horizon pushing back all the time. And the work is so meager compared to the tremendousness of the need. In 1891, Dr. Titchener wrote his report to the Southern Baptist Convention, said we needed greatly to have work in Arkansas and Texas and Florida and California, and that we needed missionaries for New Orleans, for the Indians, and for the Negroes. And he said that we can dream of the day when we'll have $100,000 to carry on our home mission work. But he said we've got to have at least $50,000 if we do any sort of effective work. This year our home mission budget is $4,138,000. And certainly we need many times that in order to meet our need. And so our church has come to the place where we say that we are going to match dollar for dollar the Annie Armstrong offering with the Lottie Moon offering. We've used that as a sort of gauge. We're not trying to pit these offerings one against the other. Dr. John Zeta Hertz tells the story of Dr. W.T. Lowry's. He had a couple of men working on the campus, and one of them was loafing and the other was working away, and so he got after the loafer and pointed out the other as an example. The loafer said to him, "Yes, sir, Dr. Lowry, but sir, he's working by the job and I was working by the day, and I just ain't going to race with him." Well, we're not trying to let these two offerings race, but if I were in our church, and of course I wouldn't say it here, but sometimes we say in our church without the slightest disrespect, we say that Anne has just got to keep up with Lottie. And someone asked me if we put our offerings, the Annie Armstrong offering and the Lottie Moon offering, in the cooperative program. Well, I'll tell you a secret. I wrote my little speech for this meeting. And sent it off, and then I told some of them, I said, "You like a couple of $1,000 of making my speech true." And Guy Rutland Sr., the chairman of our finance committee, got up last Wednesday night in the deacon's meeting and said, "You got to keep the preacher from lying, and so we got to get up that money." And he came down here to help me tell you that we're going to continue to let these two offerings at least be on a 50-50 basis. And so for me and for my church, we've decided a long time ago that we would never, from now on, give less to missions than we use for our local work, and we would at least see that the Annie W. Armstrong offering for home missions will match the Lottie Moon offering for foreign missions.
Mrs. Mathis told you this morning that during the 10 days we were in Japan, we attended a meeting each day. One of those meetings was held in Kobe, Japan. We arrived there at night and saw only the city's lights. Early the next morning, we went to the church where we were to attend the all-day meeting and, well, I can't say dinner on the ground. It wasn't on the ground, but it was on the floor. For there, they do not use chairs when they get ready to have a dinner. The little table is about so high, and you get down on your knees, and there you partake of this food. So this was one of those all-day meetings with the dinner served in the church. Interestingly enough, Mrs. Mathis was always interested in taking pictures when we came to these meals, and I was never sure whether she was trying to avoid the food or sitting in that position on the floor trying to partake of the food. But she took pictures while I ate the Japanese food, sitting down on my knees around this Japanese table, not just in this church, but in many churches. And so, we were in this church on that morning. We went early with the missionaries to make preparations for the day, and so we had some time to walk around and see the church building. We went over to the side of the church. The windows were open. You could see out over the city. We were on a high hill, and you could see down on the roofs of the buildings below us. And beyond those buildings, we saw a body of water. A man was standing by us, Mr. Corey, who is the secretary of the educational work of the Japan Baptist Convention. And we said to Mr. Corey, "Could that be the Bay of Kobe, Kobe Harbor?" And he said, "Yes." Now, what would you think of if suddenly you were to realize that you were looking at the harbor in Kobe? You would think I believed just what Mrs. Mathis and I thought, for we realized immediately that it was in that harbor on Christmas Eve, 1912, that Lottie Moon went home to receive her reward. And we said, oh, that's the harbor in which Miss Lottie Moon died. And Mr. Corey said, yes. And this church in which we are meeting today was built with Lottie Moon Christmas offering funds. Oh, it's one thing to be here and talk about the vision of Lottie Moon, talk about what has been accomplished through the offering through these years, and it's quite another thing to stand there and feel what that offering has done for the spread of the gospel among people in Japan. Because there are pastors here who have led our people on to greater and greater giving, we have been able to lift the level of giving through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering in recent years. Dr. Ralph Grant, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Lubbock, has done much to lead his people in their giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so we have invited Dr. Grant to come today and talk to us about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the effect this offering has had on his total church program of giving. Dr. Grant.